The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand here before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, Jesus said to us in the Gospel three different criteria for us to be able to be his disciples. The second of the three was, unless we pick up the cross and follow him, we can't be his disciple. Today in the readings, we see a little bit about what that's about, but at the same time, what Jesus wants to do in us through the cross. Jesus goes into the synagogue on a Sabbath. One of the principal reasons for which Jesus died was to testify to the real meaning of the Sabbath. It's a crucially important point for us because people have missed the meaning of the Lord's Day. So we need to grasp that Jesus was willing to die for the Sabbath. But he was there, and there was a man who had a withered hand. One of the apocryphal Gospels, we don't know if it's true, but it likely could be true, even though on the major points it was wacky. On a lot of the details, it could be accurate. That's how you build a plausible story, by putting some of the details. And it said that this man with the withered hand had been a mason and no longer could he work. Jesus, regardless of the reason, had him come up forward. And he asked a question which is incredibly relevant. The Jews said you couldn't even do any work on the Sabbath, even deeds of love, because they had totally misinterpreted what the third commandment was. The third commandment was to free us from slavery. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day, for you were once slaves in Egypt. And when we were working in a servile way on Sunday, like for example for money rather than for love, we were reducing ourselves once again to slavery. But it was never meant to prevent deeds of love. So Jesus asked this question. Little did they know the relevance. I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? He wanted to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil. And what exactly were they planning to do that Sabbath? They were going to condemn Jesus for a good deed, but in their own hearts and in their own thoughts and their own conspiratorial gestures, they were going to start plotting to murder Jesus on the Sabbath. And they didn't even see their own sin. To save life, as Jesus was going to do, or to destroy it, as they were trying to do to Jesus. That's when Jesus had this man come forward, stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. Pope Francis this morning in the Vatican said that Jesus' entire work is to restore us, not just withered hands, withered feet, withered hearts, withered minds, withered souls, withered strength. That's his chief work, to restore us, to remake us, to hit the reset button on the way that he had originally made us, so that we might become his image and likeness. But like Jesus, we need to be willing to suffer. Jesus went straight on in to that trap that they had set for him. because this man with a withered hand needed it. In the first reading, St. Paul wrote to the Colossians about the way Jesus seeks to want to restore us. And he does it not despite the cross, but he does it specifically through the cross. We're never going to be restored. We're never going to be remade without suffering. Why? Just a little bit before we get into the reading. Suffering is an ontological evil, metaphysical evil. God didn't want us to suffer at the beginning. Suffering was a direct result of sin, the consequence we brought about in ourselves. But in the plan of the redemption, suffering was going to be part of our cure. Just like, for example, in the desert, when after the Jews' infidelity, there were seraph serpents there who were biting them and killing them. But the cure was to put one of those bronze serpents on the pole and everybody who looked at it would be cured. So the seraph serpent that was biting us originally was suffering, something evil. But when we changed our relationship to it, specifically our relationship to Jesus through it, that would be the path of our restoration. That's why St. Paul says, and it's important that we get the Greek translation right, because unfortunately it's been mistranslated many times to confusion. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, Paul says. And I, this is the right translation, and I am filling up in what is lacking in my flesh in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. Sometimes we get the sense that Christ's sufferings are lacking, because that's the way the translation goes. I'm filling up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. No, Christ's afflictions were perfect. But in our own flesh, we've got to conform ourselves to Christ's sufferings. And all of us lack something of that conformity. So Jesus, who wants to reform us into himself, to be his true body, we need to allow those sufferings to occur. That's what St. Paul was doing when he was in a jail cell in Rome, writing this letter to the Colossians. Some of the times our sufferings will be changing our entire schedule to be at somebody's bedside when they're ill. Some of the times it might have to be to deal with gossip that other people are saying about us. Some of the times it'll be with our own physical issues. Some of the times it'll be through our family members who are really trying our patience and our forgiveness. But we've all got sufferings. And Jesus gives them to us as a gift precisely so that we could enter on into more and more his redemption. St. Paul goes on with a very important phrase. He starts to describe the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past, but now been manifested to his holy ones. What is that great mystery? St. Paul says later, it is Christ in you, the hope for glory. Great mystery, hidden. Sacrament is that word. Mysterion is translated as sacramentum in Latin. The great sacrament is Christ in us. Something hidden to visible eyes, but we know there's an invisible impact. Christ in us, which is at the same time hope for glory. Even in the midst of making up what's lacking in our flesh in conformity to his suffering, Christ is working within us. And that's our great hope for glory, even in the midst of pain. Pope Francis this morning talked that the world really needs to see this hope which is associated with Christ. So many, he says, think that hope and optimism are the same things. As George Weigel likes to say, optimism is just a thing of optics. It's the way you look at things, whether the glass is half full or half empty. That's a thing of perspective. Hope is something totally different than optimism. Hope is specifically associated with Jesus, his love, and his power. It's not that, hey, I think that the Red Sox might have a chance to win the World Series this year. that has nothing to do with hope, even though we talk about it. When a presidential candidate uses the term hope, basically pointing to himself and his own platform, that's not what we're talking about. When we mention hope, we mention that Christ keeps his promises, that even though we walk in the valley of darkness, we fear no evil, because we know he's with us with his rod and his staff to comfort us and lead us to verdant pastures. That's the real source of hope. And it's a hope that Christ wants to give us, not from the outside, but from the inside. This is the great mystery. Christ's at work in us, trying to heal all that is withered within us. This gives us great reason for joy. Because St. Paul was aware of that mystery, he never ceased working. That's why, he said, he admonished everyone and taught everyone with all wisdom. Sometimes people don't like to be admonished, but so that Christ can heal what is withered within, some of the times we have to tell people that they're on the wrong path, but teaching everyone the right path, so that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. Perfect doesn't go along with perfection, it means completed, risen to full stature. The church's mission is to help develop everybody in that spiritual way, particularly through the cross, which is the means by which we become more and more like him who assumed that cross for us. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we celebrate the memorial of St. Peter Claver. He was a person who let that mystery of Christ fully develop within him and went thousands of miles away from home to serve the slaves that were coming over by the tens of thousands every year from Africa to work in the mines in Colombia. And it was a very, very tough work. About a third of the slaves would die on the ship. Those who arrived needed basically everything, not to mention physical help, but they needed spiritual help. Think about what it would be like to be a slave and to be beaten and to be tortured, to be treated like a piece of property. He never did. He made himself a slave to the slaves, baptizing a phenomenal number, about 300,000. He had to deal with all the local leaders who again wanted to treat the slaves as property, and they made his life miserable. Some of his Jesuit brothers looked askance at the whole slave trade. Didn't matter so much to them. They were going to be ministering to the other classes. But Peter Claver made up what was lacking in his own flesh in Christ's sufferings for the sake of the church, because he knew by creation and then by baptism there was a great mystery developing within each of those slaves. Yesterday at Mass we see how St. Paul, in writing to Philemon and sending back his escaped slave Onesimus, said that he was to be received not as a fugitive, not as a thief, but as a beloved brother. That's the revolution that Christianity always works. That's what Peter Claver saw and lived by. And that's why he was able to be such an incredible source of hope and one of the greatest saints of our hemisphere. Today, as we come forward, we go to the place in which this mystery of Christ, the hope of glory in Peter, began to grow. It was every time he came to Mass and received the Lord. The Lord was able to remake him in the synagogue of his heart and soul, just like he helped this man in the withered with the withered hand. Like Jesus in the synagogue, he received a lot of opposition. And we too will receive some opposition in life. But it never stopped Peter, and it never should stop us. Let us look at the cross. Let us see it and Christ on it as the path to glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.